Let us pray. Thank you, God, for this day, and thank you for these moments, this opportunity to worship, to come together here in this place, to hear your word, to share in your supper, to be encountered by your presence. Lord God, help us to experience you now. We all come here after having had different weeks. Some of us have had wonderful weeks, and they've been blessed, and they've been exciting. They've been comforting. Some of us are here after having a difficult week, after having uncertainty in our life and struggle and pain. Perhaps we've had a little of both. Lord God, no matter how we've come here this day, we are here, you have brought us, and we pray your blessing upon us in this worship, that as we sing, as we pray, as we hear the word, as we share the meal, Lord God, that you would encounter us where we need to be met with what we need to heal us and to empower us, perhaps even to change us. Lord Jesus, we trust this and we invite you among us. In Jesus' name, amen. I was probably in the second grade, I believe it was, when I was going to the cafeteria and I was walking in line and I was standing beside one of my friends, a young girl, and she looked at me and she asked me if I went to church. I said, yes, I do. I go to the Lutheran Church, Grace Lutheran Church, where my daddy is the preacher. He's the pastor of the church. And she looked at me, she goes, well, my pastor told me that Lutherans are going to hell. And so, I went home with this newfound knowledge. And I went up to my dad. And I said, Dad, did you know that we're going to hell? And he said, well, okay, why is that, son? And I told him that my classmate had told me that that's what was going to happen. And he went on to then tell me something that I thought was pretty cool. He said, you know, Dave, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ are our family. However, some of our family are going to try to scare other people out of hell. But that's not what we do as Lutherans. He said, we try to love people into heaven. And from that moment on, I was proud to be a Lutheran Christian. So much so that it reminded me this week, as you know, we are in the fourth week of our preaching series on Galatians. We've talked about how is Christ your priority. We've talked about how Christ is your authority and how Christ is your identity. And today, we're looking at the question from Galatians, how is Christ our unity amidst diversity? And it reminded me this week as I was thinking about it, I was reminded of that story because I have come to realize that I am divided from other people in a whole bunch of ways. Some that just have happened to me by chance, by the reality of being born, and others by choice. I was made aware this week while I was with the confirmation kids, as we were teaching Lutheran theology to our kids, of how proud I am of that, but how Lutheran is, at best for us, not a noun, but an adjective. It is a description of what is our true definition, which is Christian. We are Lutheran Christians, as they say. But what is most important is the Christian part. As we were meeting with the kids this week, I was reminded of that. And I was then reminded of all the other different ways this week that I am kind of divided from other people. You know, one is simply my skin color. You know, as a white person in this world, I have a certain sense of identity and certain things come my way. Being a male being a white male in our American society has given me certain privileges that I'm not even aware of, that I'm only aware that I had these privileges because other people who are not white or not male have made me aware of those. I was born in America, and I remember as a child giving thanks that I was born here and not somewhere else. So I'm divided from people because of my skin color, by my gender, by where I was born. I was actually born in the South, and I kind of like that I was born in the South. I'm not proud of everything that the South has done, but I like being a Southerner. And when I meet other people, when I meet Midwesterners, they're not like, yeah, I'm from the Midwest, yeah. Or Northerners are not like, yeah, we're from the North, yeah. Or people out West, yeah. No, only Southerners do that. You know? Only people like me are like, yeah, we're from the South. Yeah, you know, we're proud of that. I used to have a belt buckle that said, American by birth, Southern by the grace of God. And then when I went to seminary, I went to the Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary. I didn't even look anywhere else. I went to the Southern Seminary. I actually made a t-shirt out that said, Lutheran by birth, Southern Seminary by the grace of God. And I tried to get Augsburg Fortress, the store there, to sell them for me because I wanted to bankroll my seminary a little bit. But they turned me down, so I just made a bunch and gave them to my friends. I've still got one, actually. I cut off the sleeves in good Southern fashion, you know, to wear it. But that differentiates you. I've met people. As a matter of fact, I did a wedding one time up in Boston. And afterwards, the mother of the groom, who was my friend, we were off in the South, she was pleased that, she was like, David, I'm so glad that you are part of this, because they think we're all hicks down there. And they wanted to see somebody professional doing a good job in the church and whatnot. So as a Southerner, you know, I noticed that has differentiated me from people. Some of the things that I really weren't a part of just how I was born, choices that I've made. You guys know that I differentiate myself from people because I am a diehard Duke fan and Redskins fan. And no offense, Will, and he understands as a Carolina fan, that we look at each other when we first find that out, we go, oh, really? I meet Carolina fans, I'm like, oh, really, you're a Carolina fan, huh? He does the same to me. He's like, oh, I don't know what I can do, but this pastor friend of mine is a Duke fan. I do the same thing with Cowboy fans, no offense. You know, as a Redskins fan. So that's by choice. We separate ourselves. We find that we separate ourselves politically, too, don't we? A couple of elections ago, I had two people in my church in Cincinnati, two very loving, faithful Jesus followers. One came up to me and said, Pastor, I just don't see how people could ever vote Republican. And then the Republican came up to me and said, Pastor, I don't see how anybody that loves Jesus could vote Democrat. Both of them. And I looked at him, I said, well, let me introduce you to this person. Let me introduce you to this person. I mean, because they knew them and they loved each other. We even had an interesting situation just recently with one of our college graduate, or one of our high school graduates, who is very strong in her Democratic views. One of the wonderful people from this church was supporting her and gave her a gift for graduation and told her, you know, that's the first time I've written a check to a Democrat in many, many years. But I thought that was a beautiful example of what we're going to be talking about today, which is the unity amidst diversity, because the reality is diversity is easy, or at least dividing ourselves is easy. It is very easy for me to take myself over here and divide myself from the other people and look with furrowed brow at people who are different. It's easy for me to do that. It's easy for me to find my little tribe and my little group and my little club and stay there and do that. And I can do that in just about every single way that I'm divided from other people. I can do that except for this one that's really maddening, and it's that tribe that I belong to called Christian. St. Paul says something pretty profound today, and we've used that as something that really I normally is something of a comforting piece of scripture, but it is one of the more challenging ones that we'll ever have. Because Paul says that because you are clothed in Christ, he says, because you are baptized, then there is no longer Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor male nor female, and you could just keep going, or northerner or southerner, or Redskins fan or Cowboys fan. Or whatever it is, or Republican or Democrat. No longer. In Christ, you are one. All the other things that define me in my life, all the other things of which I claim allegiance, ultimately must bow to that one single identity, authority, priority, unity. Jesus. And folks, that's not easy, is it? It's easier to be defined by my politics instead of letting and have that norm my faith versus having my faith norm my politics, or having my views on other things normed more by this and these experiences versus my faith. It's hard because it means that we will have to be like Christ or attempt to live in the model of Christ, in the model of Christ that is centered in what I believe is God's ultimate characteristic of all of them, which is compassion and sacrifice. And the only place that we need to look to witness that is right here, right on that cross. For you see, in that moment, Jesus was uniting all to himself. And he was doing that in a compassionate, sacrificial way. Because all we have to remember is that the very people who nailed Jesus to that cross, the very people who spat on him, the very people who called for his death, who rigged it so that he would be put to death, those people whom Jesus looked down upon from that cross are the people of whom Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Sacrifice and compassion for those who hurt him. Just as the act on the cross is that uniting force, that uniting act that has brought all of us into a new relationship with Christ, it is that act, that an act of compassion and sacrifice that reminds us that that is what brings unity in our world. That means we look at the person for whom we disagree and with whom we disagree, the person who we struggle with, the person in our family who causes us pain, the person at our work who causes us discomfort. We look at all of that and we must be compassionate so as to find unity as the body of Christ. For it is that witness to the world that I believe changes the world. Because our world will set up boundaries and dividing places all over the place for us if we let them. But as Christians, it's the one place that we can't do that. I had a pastor friend who I greatly value. And he was a great pastor, and his church was a large church in Cincinnati, and it continued to grow forever. And I was talking to him about that one time, and he said something to me that I don't agree with. He said, you know, Dave, if you want your churches to grow, and actually all the data actually makes this, says the same thing. If you want your church to grow, if that's what you're about, then you can't have diversity. Because people don't want to worship with people that are unlike them or too different from them. So he said, you need to just pick your area, pick who you want in your church, and that's who you fill it up with. And I got to be honest, man, I don't agree with that. Because we may all be about the same socioeconomically, perhaps we are, most of us are white and have that experience. I get what he's saying. But I don't know, God made us in a lot of different ways. And I believe that the call of the Christian community is to seek unity amidst diversity. To value the things that make us diverse, absolutely. But to recognize that in Christ we are one and that we can see each other as brothers and sisters. And I believe that the more that we can add diversity, the better. Because then me as a white southern male who loves sports can learn from the Hispanic woman who doesn't even care about American football. Like Fadua. Right here. So I learned from Fadua as she learned from me. Because I believe that is what heaven is like. And if we take seriously, our prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then friends, I believe that's what we're called to do. To seek diversity so that we can find amidst it our unity that makes us community, the body of Christ. I pray that for all of us. May we be open to the ways Christ is working in those around us, especially those who make us the maddest. And help us to see in each other the great promise that in each of us there is God and God's love and grace. And help us to see the Christ in each other. And they no longer are a stranger, but they become a brother and a sister. They become a part of our family. In Jesus' name, amen.